I am delighted to be here after a couple of years. And I really thank all of you. Though we did not meet frequently, I knew there are some people who used to pray for me and the ministry and also about my family. First of all, about my family, as some of you know that my wife was having the second stage of cancer, found 2 years ago. Now she is fine, treatment is over, no side effects, and she is doing fine. And then last year in the month of May, and I had some repair of my heart also, and now I am perfectly fine. And thank you very much for prayers. Regarding the ministry, I make it very short. Our pioneer ministry of church planting, evangelism in 5 countries in South Asia going on well, like Bhutan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and India. In all these places, we have orphanages and we are raising children to be missionaries. And in all these places, we do have missionary training centers. Persecution is increasing all over South Asia, especially in India. And even in my personal knowledge, recently also, about those people known to us, 15 people were murdered in India. Time has come, we should fill up the blanks. And so, instead of regular Bible colleges, we are doing what we call missionary training centers. Only 1 year course, teaching them how to go to pioneer areas and evangelize the places and plant churches. Many people are excited. Now we have got in 5 places, and the major work is in Nagaland, that is in the Northeast India, border of Burma and China. And we have got now 20 people, young men and women from Nepal, from Northeast India and from South India getting training, and they will be graduated and going in December to new places where gospel is never preached. We have no right to hear the gospel the second time when there are people who never heard it once. And that is what Oswald J. Smith, that Presbyterian preacher, said long time ago, and I personally believe that. And so every year we are trying to do research about one more tribe, one more language that never heard the gospel. And now we are giving an emphasis in a state called Tripura, and there we are reaching about 10 tribes where there is no church at all. And also in Bangladesh, not only among the Chak tribe, but also among 5 different tribes at the Chittagong hill tracks. We go there frequently. Only because of the lockdown, I am here for a short period of time, but I call it is the time of my lockdown with God. So I am writing books, which are going to be reference books in all these institutes. And just recently I finished on pioneer evangelism, church planting, prayer life, the book of Nehemiah, and the book of Thessalonians, Philippians, and some other. So it is a productive time. During this COVID-19, long-term visit to our country, including all over the world, which is predicted in Matthew chapter 24, we are not paranoid, we are not afraid, because we know we are immortal as long as God wants us to be here, but we are extremely careful everywhere. And so seeing all of you with masks and also is not a surprise to me, but I am so glad that we are doing it. But we know that we are going to be alive and well as long as the Lord keeps us. And then in Dimapur, in the missionary training center, we cannot conduct classes because of the lockdown, but we conduct classes at night. And so going on very well, and the Lord is giving us great excitement. I being here is very good in many ways, because the Lord has allowed me to raise funds for about 300 families in India, Nepal, Bangladesh, and other places who were starving. Evangelists who did not have any support because the churches are not gathering. They cannot collect money. So we were able to send for rice and other groceries and basic needs. And people generously, in spite of the business slowdown in this country, they are helping, and we are so thankful to God. Now with that, I will stop here and I will go to the Word of God. And anyone would like to know more about the latest situation in South Asia, you can contact me by emails. Thank you. I was thinking as to what I would be speaking today, and I will draw your attention to the book of Habakkuk. And that's very interesting. It was a great blessing to me in the book of Habakkuk. In one of the youth conferences, the preacher asked, "Do you know Habakkuk?" One young man said, "Yes, I heard about that. It is one of the festivals of the Jewish people in Palestine." Another young girl said, "No, no, it is not like that. It is a small town's name in South Korea." Then other person said, "No, it's not like that. It is the recent back pain that is brought in, and they are looking for a treatment for the back pain, which is called Habakkuk." And so there are so many stories like that. Many people, even though born and raised in Christian homes, are not very familiar with the eighth prophetic book among the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Habakkuk was a man who was born and raised in the Levite tribe, and then he is prophesying. He could not prophesy properly, so he had many questions, and those questions are written in chapter 1. And then when we come to chapter 2, we find God is answering his prayers. And in chapter 3, we find the great excitement that he got answer to his prayers. Dearly beloved, this message had been a great comfort to me during this pestilence, during all these difficulties. And I realize in our prayer life, the Lord sometimes would give us immediate answer. Sometimes he will ask us to wait. Sometimes he will answer no. In the Bible, we find at least 3 instances where God said no. Moses, he wanted to reach the land of Canaan. He said no. David wanted to build the temple. God said no. And Apostle Paul wanted the thorn from the flesh to be removed. God said no. My grace is enough for you. So dearly beloved, at the very outset, I would tell you, from my experience of the last nearly 5 decades of my ministry, I know there are times God answers prayer immediately. God does ask me to wait and patiently, and then there are times God said no. And the key words of this book, therefore, is God is under no obligation to explain to you why he delays, why he does not answer. You have no right to ask questions to him why, but learn to live by faith. And that is the key words of the book of Habakkuk. And this is a study that we could take 3 or 4 Sundays together, but I am going to give a very comprehensive study on all these 3 chapters, taking these key words only, that is chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4 says like this. You can turn your Bible. We are not going to refer any other verses from the Bible. So maybe you could even look into this if you are not familiar, and you can even underline those verses. In chapter 2, verse 4, but the just shall live by faith. That is the last portion. Why did the Lord say like that? I will give you the outline. Now you see, the people of Israel, this was before the captivity of Israel to the Babylonian Empire in 605. Because of the sin that was rampant, and because of going to the Baal's worship and going to the Assyrian kingdom, the Lord had predicted that they will be going to be in a captivity of the Babylonian Empire. In this book, it is written as Chaldeans. That means Babylonian Empire. But here is the question of Habakkuk, verse 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Every cry out to you, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity? Now remember, that is chapter 1. He has two questions, only two. And what are those two questions? Oh God, your people, the people of Israel, they are living in sin. They are in injustice. They are in corruption. They are in idolatry. They forgot God. Oh God, how long will you keep quiet? You will not answer my prayer. You will not purify these people. That was the first question. Then the Lord said to him, Habakkuk, I want you to know one thing. If I try to answer your question, you will have more questions. I will not be able to satisfy you. But anyway, because you are asking me, let me answer you this. These people will be punished by Babylon. That image that Nebuchadnezzar saw and the dream that was seen by Daniel, and that is Babylonian kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar, which was going to take place in BC 605. So the Lord said, I am going to judge these people by an enemy which is faster than leopards. They are going to tear you into pieces, and the cities will be in desolate, and the people will be scattered. So he got the answer. Don't worry. I am going to purify the people. Then the question increased. Oh God, I thought you were silent. I thought you were indifferent. Now I know one more thing. You are insensitive. You are inconsistent. How can you use a more cruel kingdom to punish the people who are more righteous than those people? Have you not heard about this? That you are a God who are purer than holy eyes? How can you see evil of those people and use them? Now, one thing is that I'm so happy I believe the Bible. Remember, these things happened before Babylonian captivity for 70 years. That started in 605 and for about 70 years, and it was over in 539. And there we find, oh Habakkuk, I am going to bring Babylonian kingdom and they will tear in pieces. I will purify the people, they will repent. However, I want you to know one thing. Why am I using them? Don't worry. I know what I am going to do for my people. It is in the process of purification. It will take time. Though it will tarry, it will take time. And so what I am going to do is that this Babylonian kingdom, which is more cruel than the people of Israel, I will use them for a temporary season for 70 years. And after that, the Medo-Persian kingdom will come and will defeat Babylonian kingdom in 539. And they will rule up to 331 BC. Then, of course, here that prophecy is not written. The book of Daniel says very clearly, after the Medo-Persian kingdom, Greece will come in 331 and will continue to rule up to 168 BC. Then after that, the Roman Empire starts. Let me not go into the prophetical subject now, but I think you got the point. That means before the Babylonian captivity started, he said all these things. Who said? To Habakkuk. Yes, I am using this cruel kingdom to purify my people, but remember, only for temporary. I can use heathen kings to glorify my name. I can use heathen kings to protect my people. He was going to protect the people of God through a man called Ahasuerus of the Medo-Persian kingdom and Darius of the Medo-Persian kingdom. All this God knew beforehand. Bible is not a history book, but whatever is written, history in the Bible is true. Bible is not a science textbook, but whatever is written there scientifically true. Science is catching up with the word of God that was revealed to the prophets of God years and years ago. So, dearly beloved, lift up your eyes and be a proud Christian. Walk in real pride that, yes, I believe the word of God. Now, if I go on like this, it will take a long time. And so, when the Lord said to him, I will bring another kingdom and tear the other kingdom which is going to be defeating you, then he said, yes, Lord, I have no more question. I have no more question. So in chapter 2, what is he doing? Lord, I have no more question. I was in the valley of worry. Now I will be on the watchtower of waiting for you. Chapter 2, verse 1. He was in the valley of worry. He was complaining. He was talking. But in chapter 2, he said, I will not talk. You speak to me. Whatever way you want to correct me, I am ready to listen. Prayer is not a time just only talking and talking and talking to God and then going away. Prayer is a time you will wait and wait for God and ask God, speak to me, your servant is hearing, tell me what is my wrong. So in chapter 2, we find the Lord is answering him, prophet is listening, and it is written in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, on the rampart. Rampart means on the terrace of the building of the Hebrew people. They always had a rampart where they had their prayer tower. And so, dearly beloved, from the valley of worry, he is going to the watchtower. And he is waiting for the Lord to speak. Then come to chapter 3. Then in chapter 3, he is getting the answer. And then he is so satisfied. Now we shall read that portion. Chapter 3, beginning from verse 16. Of course, we could start a little bit ahead also before, but because of the time. Verse 16. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered in my bones, and I trembled myself. That I might rest in the day of trouble, when he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Then verse 17 onwards, very often we all memorize, don't we? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. What do we find here? When the Lord answered his question, even though he could not fully understand, he said, yes, I understand. The just shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord. I will learn by faith. I will learn to live by faith. Dearly beloved, you who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, in our everyday life, we should learn to live by faith. If there is anyone in this who does not know what is the meaning of living by faith, then I would tell you there are three books in the New Testament expounding this one verse. That just shall live by faith, expounded in the New Testament, in three books. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 17, just shall live by faith. Because the book of Romans, the emphasis is the just. Who is a just man? That is what Paul is writing. A just man is justified by faith, not by works, not by circumcision, but by faith. He is justified by the blood of Christ. He is declared justified by the word of God. He is justified forever. That is the book of Romans. You and I, we should have that assurance that I am justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even after we are born again, sometimes we may try to live according to rules and regulations, circumcisions and all, as the people of the Galatian churches were slave to. Therefore, in Galatians chapter 3 verse 11, Apostle Paul says, but the just shall live by faith, not by works, not by the law of Moses, not by circumcision, not by anything. So the second emphasis, shall live. Shall live. How shall we live? Live by faith. Then when we come to Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, the writer is telling about the second coming of Christ and the last days and all. Then he says in verse 38, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, but the just shall live by faith. When the world is dark, when famines increase, when pestilence are in rampant, when you see all these things, remember, this is not the end. The prophets of gloom in this 20th century all over the world, including some Christians, are declaring, this is the last, this is the end. No, this is not the end. This is the beginning of you and me. That is what we find in Luke chapter 21 and also Matthew chapter 24. When you see these signs, lift up your eyes and your redemption draweth nigh. This is not the end. Therefore, dearly beloved, when difficulties come, sickness come, bereavement comes, calamities come, don't be like the people of God, walking everywhere in great fear, as if I am going to die. No. While you are careful, of course, lift up your eyes. If my journey on earth is over, I am going to be with my Lord. Lift up your eyes. So that is why, children, the just in the book of Romans shall live. The book of Galatians, by faith. Look at chapter 11 of Hebrews. We find a lot of people. The panorama of the people who lived in faith as pilgrims in this world, knowing that this world is not their own, but we were pilgrims and strangers in this world, knowing that there is a city whose maker is God himself, and they lived. That is why we have to live. So dearly beloved, we find, therefore, in the end, the prophet is concluding with words of excitement. Now, skipping all these things, chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we can study for ourselves, I will go only to the last few chapters because that is the climax. In chapter 1, the prophet is in the valley of worry. In chapter 2, he is on the watchtower of waiting. You have to wait. Communion with God. Not only in the collective worship in the church, but communion with God on your knees, in your home. But when you come to chapter 3, on the mountaintop of praise. Mountaintop. He makes my feet like deer's feet, and I will walk on the mountain tops. In chapter 1, the prophet is complaining, praying. Chapter 2, he is listening. And in chapter 3, he is praising.
In chapter 1, he is in the valley. In chapter 2, he is on the watchtower. Chapter 3, he is the mountaintop. In chapter 2, chapter 1, he is weeping. In chapter 2, he is worshiping. In chapter 2, he is praised. 3, he is praising. God wants our cups to be overflowing with joy all the time. Rejoice evermore. We are never under circumstances. We are above circumstances. Never write a letter under the circumstances I am pulling on. You are never under. You are above it. Even Paul and Silas, they were not under circumstances in the jail. They were praising God. If I go on like that, it will take a long time. So let me come to the last portion before we conclude. Here we find one thing. The prophet made 3 decisions here. Verse 16. Because of all these answers I got from you, what does he say? I must rest in the day of trouble. I will rest in the Lord. It is very much connected to Psalm number 37. I rest in the Lord. I wait on the Lord. I delight in the Lord. And all these things are in that psalm. So here, I rest in the Lord. When the people of Israel about to cross the Red Sea, when the danger was there in front of them and behind were the enemies, they could not turn anywhere. And what did the Lord say? Stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Never struggle. Stand still. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. O God, save us from the barrenness of a busy life, that we will learn how to be in quiet time with you should be our prayer, brothers and sisters. Then what is his second thought here? Verse 18. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I remember the story of an elderly woman who had so many birds around her house she kept. And one man came and said, ma'am, it seems you are so happy because so many birds are singing all the time. And the lady said like this, yes, I am happy, but do you know which bird I love the most? It is that small bird called robin. When all the other birds stop singing in the midnight, it is robin who is singing in the midnight. I love that bird. And that is what the Bible says in the Old Testament very clearly. He giveth songs in the midnight. May the Lord enable you and me that we would be people who will be robin Christians, singing and rejoicing so that when people around us see us, they will be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like when Stephen was about to die, his face was shining like the face of an angel. And no wonder people like Saul, who was the enemy of Christ, he was attracted and was drawn to the Lord. I will rest in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. And then in verse 19, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk on high places. And I wrote that one in this way, I will rely on the Lord. I will rely on the Lord. What is the secret of what we are telling? The just shall live by faith. That means, when the thick clouds are there, you should see the rainbow of his promise and presence, And we should have communion with him and tell God, thank you. Thank you for this trouble. Thank you for the valley. Thank you for this fire. I know one thing. David said in Psalm number 66. It is good that the Lord afflicted me. Psalm 119 also it says. So that I may not go astray. Then he says, I had been through flood and through fire. But the Lord was with me and they led me through that. Is it that we have no problems in our life? No, we have problem. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do not believe the people who are preaching that if you are in the will of God, there will be no problem. It will be a bed of roses. There will be no sickness. No, that preaching is from the pit of hell. By so-called popular preachers who are only after money and position. But my Bible tells me, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth them from all of them. He is a very present help in times of trouble. It could be when I am on the table, when the doctors, they do not know what to do for me. It could be when I have my heart trouble. Or it could be when my wife is having cancer. It could be when some serious things happen all around. But there is one thing there. The just shall live by faith. Why? I trust in him. I believe in him. I take God at his word. He will never fail. When I do that, communion with the Lord will give me three things. With that, I will close. What are those three things? It's all written in verse 19. Communion with God, in the presence of God. Some people told me recently, oh, quarantine time, lockdown time, it may be miserable. And I would say like this, it's not miserable to be locked down with my God. And so what do we find here in verse 19? The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high places or on the mountain tops. Number one, communion with the Lord brings strength. The Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, then I am strong. I have no power in myself. That is what Paul knew when he was about to go to Corinth also. I am coming with trembling and fear, but the Lord is my strength. In my preaching ministry on the mountaintops in the forest, facing the wild animals and the hostile people, there were times I could be afraid. But in those times, the Lord gave me strength. He is my strength. I have no strength in myself. Not in my education, not in my degree, not in my knowledge of the Bible. My strength comes from my Lord. Communion with the Lord gives me strength. Number two. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Communion with Christ gives me sure footedness or stability. All the animals cannot walk on precipices, on rocky mountains, but a deer can do that. We are living in the slippery world. Moral breakdown, situation changes. Governments failing. Love of many backs cold. In the midst of that, Communion with the Lord will give you stability, sure-footedness. I know whom I have believed. I will go on. Sure-footedness, stability. And that is why Apostle Paul concludes the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says like this. After telling about our death, about our resurrection, about our being with God, with the Lord, he says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfastness, sure-footedness. In this world where there is no stability, there is one thing that will give you stickability and stability in your life is the communion with God. Lastly, he will make me walk on the mountains, on hilltops. Communion with Christ gives me elevation. I will not be in the valley. I will not be frowning. I will not feel sad. Discouragements are there. Pains are there. But it gives me elevation. And that's what we find. So dearly beloved, as I close, I hope and pray that this brief message will comfort our hearts, strengthen our life, energize our commitment to be with the Lord, and we will learn every day to live by faith. We are learning, don't we? We started our life journey years ago when the Lord by His grace saved us. And we have not reached the goal yet. But thank God, I am not at where I want to be, where God wants me to be. But thank God, I have gone a long way. I am not where I used to be, but a time is coming, I will be where He wants to be. Let us keep growing. Let us keep growing. Let us be rejoicing. May the Lord continue to bless our hearts. Thank you.